time to ask the AD. KSF Prater now joined by Boise State Athletic Director Kurt Apsey, joining us here in the DataTel studio. Kurt, I guess there is some news this afternoon. I've forgotten. John Patrick was out hassling the State Board of Education to find out what they know about. He's fascinated by other people's salaries.
What would we do without him? That's what I want to know.
Well, we know that answer. Are you comfortable yet with your salary being published? You've been this way now for, I don't know, almost 20 years?
Well, it was never published till I got this job.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
No one ever cared about it.
No, by the way, Kurt, we knew. Now, Mr. Patrick looks at every employee at Boise State salary. Trust me.
Well, it's kind of funny, you know, when I came back and went through the press conference, they actually handed that out at the press conference. And that kind of surprised me. But when you think about it, why not just do it then instead of everybody wanting to know what it was? I think they just passed it out. That's different. That hadn't happened to me before. So people certainly got a lot more interested in it in this role.
Yeah, but today news is that some assistant coaches at Boise State, for the first time beyond Marcel Yates' multi-year contract, now there's three multi-year contracts. On the pro side of this, as Coach Harsin, I'm assuming, approached you about it, what was the thinking here? Was this where we're headed and why? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, first of all, you have to put the value on the coaches you're trying to keep, and that's a statement, I think, from our program that says, you know, we value you and we don't want you to go anywhere. So that was certainly probably the first thought. And then, you know, you want to try to keep them. There's a buyout clause in all three of those contracts that will... You know, if they did decide to go do something else, that, you know, we would be able to pay for some things that come up when a coach leaves for us. So I think it was a great opportunity for both sides, and I know those guys are fired up and excited about it, and I'm glad we were able to get that done. And obviously credit goes to the State Board for trusting that those were good decisions on our part, and it passed today, so that was good news.
Yeah, Andy Avalos, Scott Huff, Kent Riddle, the three that have now got multi-year contracts, which – Do you see an end to this, Kurt, as it relates to why not the entire assistant coaching staff being on? It's creeping, right?
Yeah,
it's getting there.
I see it getting more that way. You know, the one thing that I think people sometimes forget is even though those are multi-year contracts with assistant coaches, those contracts are all tied to the head coach. So, for example, if one of our head coaches were to leave and they had multi-year guys underneath them, those contracts become not multi-year contracts anymore.
Really?
So, yeah, and that's the nature of the business. You know, you're tied to the head coach, and it's a risk you take, but I think, you know, on the other side of that, those guys get paid well, and they certainly earn every penny without a doubt, but their multi-year contracts are good until there's a change in the head coaching position, whether he does that, goes somewhere else, or a change is made, and then all of a sudden those multi-years are, you know, hooked to the head coach, and they're not a part of the deal anymore. So
there was a time, I don't know how many years ago, where bringing this to the State Board would have required a tremendous amount of planning and thought and forewarning and conversation and getting initial thoughts and then restructuring how it's presented and all of that back and forth. Has this relationship between the universities in Idaho and the State Board evolved because of everything around college sports? Is how much it's changed? Because not all of us know, but sometimes you can spend a lot of time educating some of the State Board of Education members on the sport of college football, on here's what's going on in the rest of the country, because they've got so much on their plate.
Yeah.
They're not studying college football and multi-year contracts for assistants.
Well, one thing that's different now that I know wasn't around before is the four athletic directors in Idaho actually meet with an athletic committee from the State Board every other month. And, you know, I was kind of joking when I came in, and people are kind of giving me a hard time. Oh, you know, you got to go meet with the State Board. I actually enjoy it. It gives me an opportunity to answer any questions that they may have, and I hope that the directors together can provide them information to better educate them on what we do in our business and what's important. And I think that's been really helpful. I think that's helped the process so that there isn't so many questions when it comes to a vote. They're more prepared to, you know, educate the entire board based on the meetings that we've had with them, and they kind of get input from, you know, Idaho State, Idaho, Boise State, and then LCSC. And so they kind of get a different look of different levels as well. And so that's been really helpful, I think. And it's been good for me because I've got to spend a little bit more time with those people. They've gotten to know me a little bit more, and I think that's really helped out.
I think that's probably, whether it was formal or informal before, mm-hmm. I can't remember the last time the state board said no.
Right.
15, 20 years over something athletic-wise. They may grill you every now and then with a couple of questions, but for the most part, when you take something to the state board and there's a vote on Thursday, it's proactively taken care of, isn't it, because of these kinds of meetings?
I think so, and it addresses the sensitive issues, you know, so that, you know, if they're uncomfortable with something, you know, you certainly don't want to find that out on the day that it goes to the vote, and I don't think they want to be surprised by it either, so... As we all know, they want to be informed. We need to be proactive. I think we've done a good job of that. And that's not just in athletics. That's with everything that comes in front of them. But I think those committee meetings for both sides, athletics, for the institution, and for the state board, has been really helpful.
So that's a new development. In other words, this idea every other month you get in there.
It was in place when I got here, but I don't remember that being a part of that, you know, years back. I don't know exactly when that started. I think it started when Mark was here. I don't know exactly when that was, but it started immediately when I got here. I just happened to kind of roll in on a month where we actually met, so that was one of the first things I did in the first couple of weeks. And I enjoy visiting with those people, and it gives me a chance to tell our story, you know, kind of behind closed doors, and they've got a chance to express whether they've got some concern about something or maybe we need to change something in a way that makes them feel more comfortable, and I think that's valuable for everybody.
Kurt Apsey's our guest. Boise State's athletic director joins us Thursdays at 5 here on Sports Radio The Ticket. Kaveson Prater asking the AD. You can too. Hashtag ask the AD on your Twitter account. We'll see if we can get to that question in this couple of segments. Now, speaking of things that are a little confusing, this whole satellite camp issue really struck me as odd that a Mountain West conference who's fighting for recruits in big metropolitan areas would not want that right and would vote with the group of five, and for the most part, really, I think, and the Power Five and saying, yeah, it's a good idea. Let's not do these anymore. And I couldn't understand the motivation and how the decision happens. Now, I'm not question. I am questioning. I wonder because I'm sure I got a vested interest. Is it a formal vote? Is it they call everybody? Who are the member institutions interested here?
Well, each school participated. We certainly were not for it. I mean, it's been quite a tool for us. In fact, I was talking to Coach Harson the other day, and I think 13 of our guys, or 13 of the signees that we have coming in, had something to do with those satellite camps. So that's a big deal for us.
Wow.
And we have an opportunity to provide an override vote later on this month to the NC2A, which we'll do. You know, that really doesn't change the majority vote in any way, but we want to make sure we express our opinion of what the legislation has come back with. And, you know, from Boise State's standpoint, we wanted them to stick around. We've taken advantage of that, Jeff, like you mentioned. It's important to us. And I don't know whether or not it's going to be overturned or not. My sense is that it won't.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know how the vote works between the five conferences and then
they have double the
conferences. And so, you know, we'll voice our opinion. And, you know, at the same time, if that's what it ends up being, I guess the good thing out of it is that nobody can do it. But I don't think that helps us.
Kirk, can you tell me from listening to these conversations, you don't have to tell me which schools.
Yeah.
You can if you want. But the others that were against it, why?
You know, my guess would be, and I haven't had that conversation with the other schools. I just know what we were trying to accomplish. And so my guess would be probably very similar to some of the schools in the other conferences that just don't want those schools in their backyard. You know,
well, we're not going to Laramie. We're not going to Colorado Springs. We're not going to Fort Collins.
Right, right. So, well, then you probably can take that list and do what you think
but
you need to do with
San
it.
San Jose, San Diego,
yeah, you know, in California, it's easier for those kids to get to those
camps.
I think here's how I look at it is that, you know, there are kids that will go to numerous camps over the summertime, mm-hmm. and obviously some are easier to get to than others.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a rule that's been made for different reasons, but I don't think it helps the high school kid that can go to a really big, prestigious camp in, say, Southern California or Arizona or wherever it is and be seen by a bunch of coaches, you know, and that's an opportunity for kids just to be, I think, seen that maybe they normally wouldn't get seen by those guys because they don't want to travel to certain places. And so, you know, for us, it was a great opportunity for us to go into other states and have an opportunity to visit with kids and see kids and coach them up. And, you know, certainly not advantageous for us if they go away.
Do they have to get to 7 no votes? Is that how it works?
7-5? Yeah.
So, you got it. So there were at least seven no votes. I could see the Californias, Hawaii, because there would be some money thing maybe. Yeah. I just couldn't put the others together and couldn't.
Well, and that's, you know, for us, I mean, like I said, we're for the camps. We right. take advantage of those things. The thing that it does do for us, though, and aside from how important that is to recruiting, it was expensive. And, you know, those guys are... they're on the road and they're traveling, and you know the hours these guys put in, and that's usually a time maybe where you might get a little break, but now you're going to Texas and you're going to LA and you're Seattle and all these places. And so, if there's any good to it, it's probably that we save a little time and a little money. I think it probably gives us an opportunity to maybe add another week of camp or maybe 2 weeks here in Boise, which I think they're planning on doing because of that. And we save some money. Not trying to make, I guess I'm trying to put a positive spin on this the best I can.
Right.
But, you know, we've really been able to take advantage of those things, and it's a testament to our coaches getting out there. And obviously the numbers of kids that we've got coming in this year had something to do with those satellite camps. So that's obviously makes it really important for us.
Yeah, I was going to ask, I mean, that money is not going to, you know, they're still going to want to spend the money, I'm assuming, the football guys. So I was going to ask
you. Oh, no, Mike. They're not going to want to spend that money.
Here you go.
Yeah, that's a savings in eyes of some, but not all.
Here's $100,000 back, Kurt. Just give it to the softball team. No, but I was going to say they're going to find some way to spend it. They're going to find the plan B. They're going to figure out another way to get really creative to get before these kids. And I was going to ask you how they do it. But you say now the plan is if they have 2 camps here in Boise, they'll have 4 camps here in Boise just bring in 500 kids as opposed to 250 kids.
You know, and I'm not even sure about the amount of kids, but sure. I know we're somewhere between, we're probably somewhere around 1,500 right now.
Oh, wow.
You know, those are...
in 2 weeks, 1,500 in 2 weeks.
I mean, it's a lot. You have the individual camps, then you have the team camps that come in here, and they do a great job with those camps. We get a lot of kids that are interested. Obviously, what we've been able to do over here the last 20, 25, 30 years in football, it makes it an attractive place to come, and Boise's an awesome place to come in the summertime, but... you know, it does cost these kids to get here, and I think that's what the satellite camps offered. It didn't allow them to have to spend a lot of money to go do that.
Will this hurt families and kids in terms of the kids who can't afford it?
I think it will, only because I don't think they're going to be able to be seen as much as they were in their own backyard.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, the cream of the crop is always going to rise to the top. So if you're a good football player,
we'll find you.
Coaches are going to find you. But I think it's those. I think Urban Meyer even mentioned it in one of the articles. He was talking about just kids in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, there's very few kids in Ohio that are actually good enough to play at Ohio State. But there's a ton of kids in Ohio that can play at a lot of other schools. And now maybe they don't have as good of a chance to do that as they might have had before when they had these camps around.
Well, wasn't Boise State, Kurt, going to some of the Power 5 camps, teaming up with somebody, and they would get kind of the next level kid? Was that happening?
Well,
or were they always doing their own?
I'm learning as I go here, but I think there's two ways to look at that. What we would do is go down and be a part of a camp. Maybe it's at another college, or maybe it's out of high school. We're not allowed to actually go in and call it a Boise State camp, but they can promote our coaches being there. So that was one way to do it, where you'd go down there with a bunch of guys. And then the other way to do it was they would split up and go to different states and just be a part of camps. You know, you actually can't physically call it a Boise State camp, but they can promote you being there. And there are some camps, you know, here in the West. I don't know exactly what they're called, but I know they're located in, you know, Southern California. I think there's one in Arizona. There's one in Washington where, I mean, they'll get, you know, 200, 300, 400, 500 coaches there. And what a great opportunity for those kids to showcase their talents. And, you know, but like I said, you have the kids, I think, that rise to the top that everybody knows about. It's all the other ones, and there's a heck of a lot more of them.
Right.
Where, Mike, back to your question, I do think it affects the kids and the families. They're not able to be seen as easy now. So.